And joining us on the line this morning from the Blessing House is Donna Humphreys. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Bruce. Good morning, Craig. It's nice to be here.
Well, thanks for spending part of your day with us today. The Blessing House has been around for about 15 years. You were involved with that Voices for Children prior to that, right?
That's correct. Both Sister Mary Berrigan, co-founder and executive director, and I were involved in the program, which was a volunteer, GAL advocacy program that helped us learn more about and work with families that were struggling, and that's really what led to the opening of Blessing House.
It kind of provided another safety net, as it were, right?
It was more of an information gathering. We were providing information to the courts for kids who were already in the system or involved with the system, and that's where we discovered that there were just so many families that really needed help that didn't need to be court-involved. So that's what motivated us to find a place where we could offer help to those families so they wouldn't have to get involved in the system.
And Donna, how many families can you help at any given time?
It's not really based on the number of families. It's based on the number of children. We are limited to no more than 10 children at any one time. So that may be two or three families. It just depends on, how many families from each children. We offer, other support services in addition to the residential, because even after the families leave, we stay in touch with them. So we're really connected with a lot of families. Once the kids come with us, we continue to help them and be a support for them in other ways also.
What are some of the issues the families are facing?
There's a variety of issues. There's health, mental health and physical health, where a family member might be sick or hospitalized, or mental health issues where a family member is suffering, needs to be hospitalized, or maybe there's issues in the home that have created conflict and there needs to be a period of stabilization. So the children will come and stay with us for a short period of time so that things can work out at home. There are situations where families are homeless, where they may have had their utilities shut off. There's no place for them to go. They're not able to go to a shelter, or there's not a relative that can take them in. And the one thing that we're seeing a lot more of now are families who are dealing with a drug issue, because in situations where parents are not able to provide a safe home for their children because of their involvement with drugs, and it gets a little complicated and complex because of that particular situation, children may come and stay with us until parents can get into rehab or until authorities can get involved to help the children, be able to stay in a safe place.
Who's bringing those children to you? A lot of times we see these sad situations where the parents are high on the drugs or almost, comatose, and the children are just sort of left to fend for themselves. Who's working to make sure those children are getting to you?
That's really a good question, because it's a question that should be everybody. The people who bring the children to us are going to be the guardian, the person who's taking care of those kids. So normally it is going to be a parent who is going to call us and ask for the children to come. But there have also been instances where a grandparent or a relative will call and ask for our help. There will be instances when Children's Services calls and asks if we have space because they're working with a family that's trying to get some assistance. We even have a situation where law enforcement, for a short period of time, for 72 hours, can bring children to us and sign them in to give us time to work with a family to be able to work out some of the details. So the nice part of it is that we are here to really help the family. We can work with family members, with authorities, to really provide the safe care for the kids to at least temporarily work things out until more of a long-term solution can be reached.
I assume the process should be quick, because it could be something that they would need like the next day or something, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it just takes a phone call, an explanation of what the emergency is, and then the arrangements are made for the child or for the children to get to the house. We have our procedures and our protocols for all kinds of different situations, and We are licensed by the state of Ohio to do this sort of thing, so it's just a matter of working out the details with a particular family because, you know, emergencies happen 24 hours a day. They don't happen 8 to 5 on weekdays. So we're always ready to assist in any way that we can.
It sounds like it takes a lot of hard work, maybe volunteer efforts, and obviously donations to make this all work. How can people get behind the Blessing House?
That's another wonderful question. We are always open to receiving financial contributions because any facility that is open 24 hours a day, every day of the year, we are staffed by employees. We do not run the organization strictly with volunteers. You know, volunteers help in various ways. But we are manned at all time by trained employees who are screened and who do a wonderful job of taking care of our kids. The community is involved in different ways as far as helping us with, you know, in-kind donations, taking collections. Sometimes they do fundraisers for us. We have volunteers who will help with the groundskeeping. We have a couple of committees. We have a Friends of Blessing House committee that helps with different activities. It's whatever we can do to get information out into the public about what we do and different ways to help. And then we're actually moving into the future on a strategic plan that is going to allow us to look at ways that we can continue to help in even more of an expanded role. And we're in the process of looking at how we can do that right now.
When you bring in, you say you have up to 10 children at any time, how do they interact with each other? How do you kind of introduce them to each other? Do they spend time with each other? Or?
Oh, yeah, they do. And the thing is, we never know on any given day what the ages or the genders or the temperaments of the kids are going to be. We may have 5 or 6 children that are all under the age of 6 on one day, and we spend most of the day, you know, changing diapers. And then another day we'll have 5 or 6 school-age children and a couple of smaller ones because we never know what the emergencies are going to be or how long the children are going to be here. But what we do find is that the kids seem to just really connect with each other. You know, they have the one thing in common, which is they are away from home. You know, some of them, they're scared, and so they will look to each other to have that companionship. And some of them are finding that their time here, they're actually able to build friendships because they're in a situation that is free from conflict, and they're in a situation where they're supported and given activities, and they're having fun. So any child, when they're in that kind of an environment, is really going to connect to others a lot easier.
And, of course, it depends on the age of the child, but how do you explain to them sort of what's happening to them in their life at that time?
Well, the one thing that we have here that works really, really well is we have a child advocate on staff. Her name is Lori Conrad. She has worked with children as a counselor and in education and school system for years. And she is great working with the kids in their transitions. So she will spend time with most of the children every day, helping them not only transition to being here, but to understanding some of the things that are happening in their own lives. She gives them the opportunity to talk and to work through so she can help them process that because these kids have, most of them, experienced trauma in some way. And so that trauma has affected them in so many different ways. And to really transition back into their homes, it's important for them to really process and understand some of the things that their family's been going through.
And as you mentioned, you never really know how long the child will be there. So it could be there one day and then things could be resolved or depending on the certain issues. So like today as Monday begins, you don't really know how what the rest of the week will play out.
That's pretty much how it goes. I mean, we can have 6 children here one day and we can have 2 the next and we can have 10 the next. The typical stay, our average stay really runs about 9 days. The family situations are just much more complex than what they used to be when we opened, and it is difficult to resolve a homelessness issue or a substance abuse issue or, things where there's a mental illness in the home in just a few days. And so what we typically have been having a waiting list that is, since the first of the year, ranged anywhere from 30 to 60 children who have been called or referred for placement that we've not been able to take because of our space limits. So it's always a situation every morning. We get together and talk about who's here, who needs to come in. We have a family advocate who also works with our parents. She makes phone calls and talks to families who are on the waiting list, who have left, to really work with them and help them in any way that we can also.
And we mentioned how sometimes now with this the crisis, with the opioid crisis, that kind of adds more to it. And sometimes maybe people are thinking, well, these parents are getting into trouble, there's something happening. But there are people that just at some point get sick and they have nothing to do with help their children.
That's correct. I think what we see a lot of are moms who are single moms who are struggling with an illness. Maybe it's a pregnancy, or maybe it's one of their children who are sick. I think one of the things that we're seeing a lot of is because of the difficulty in transportation, because of the difficulties in getting ongoing preventative care, and even some of the dietary issues for families who have lack of transportation or resources, that kids are getting sick and families and parents are getting sick. So when there's a need to go to a doctor, or the need to go into a hospital, and even situations where grandparents are raising their grandchildren, and the grandparents, just by nature of their age, are having situations where they get sick. Sometimes there's no grandma and grandpa or relative that can take the kids in. I think sometimes it's a situation where maybe there's nobody they can trust, nobody in town, or nobody they feel comfortable leaving them with. So in cases like that, we've actually had families where the parent or the caregiver has delayed getting medical care because there was no one to take the children. So that is really a very big part of what we do here, too, is we take the kids to give them the peace of mind and the opportunity to take care of themselves.
And how do they identify you? Do they call you Miss Donna? What's the moniker
for you?
Yeah,
that's pretty much what it is. It's Miss Donna and with Sister Mary, and each one of the staff, you know, has a connection with the kids. And one of the things is we really, you know, celebrate the fact that it's a homey place. And when people and visitors come, they say the first thing they walk in the door, how comfortable, how welcoming it feels. And we've got this wonderful staff that really care about the kids. And they know that. They feel that. They can feel the love that is just permeating this place. And I think as a faith-based institution, and we are supported by many different faith traditions, there's this real sense of love and care and compassion that is most important in everything that we do.
Do you like the warmer weather so that there's a little outside area for the kids to get to? I don't know what 10 kids in the middle of winter is like inside one house.
Well, that's for sure. We have this really big backyard, and the children all the time are saying, can we go to the park? And they just mean they want to go outside and play. We've got a wonderful backyard where there's a bike path, and there's, you know, the bikes. We've had quite a few kids who have learned how to ride bikes while they've been here. We've got a playground for the older kids, a playground for the younger kids, and they just love being outside. And that's one of the things that we're actually addressing is our space. You know, we've really for quite a few years known that we need to get larger space because the indoor space that we do have available, especially during the winter months, is really not adequate for what we would ideally like to have for the kids. So that is one thing that we're looking at, is actually trying to find or build or, you know, get some way to get some really nice space for our kids for those indoor activities.
It's kind of neat also how you mentioned sometimes there's these milestone moments that you become a part of just because of the circumstances of when the kids are with you at those times.
You know, it's amazing the impact that being here can have, and we've actually had children that have come back, you know, even as long as 10 years after they were here to show somebody else. We had a young man who visited us last summer who was 20 years old and brought his girlfriend and wanted to show her where he had been. and the family had really been having a hard time for a variety of reasons, and we had several of the children with us until they were finally able to make arrangements to move out to the East Coast where relatives lived. And when he was in town, he brought her here and said, this is the place that helped my mom. And he said because of his stay here, he had decided to go to college and become a policeman. And he wrote his college entrance exam on being at Blessing House as a 10-year-old. So even just those few weeks that he had been with us made really an impact to show him that there are people who care and that there are ways to help people that can truly make a difference.
Donna Humphrey's our guest this morning. It's the Blessing House. You can visit blessinghouse.org, also on Facebook as well, and you can find out about their upcoming car wash that they'll help raise some funds. It'll be coming up at Peter & Company Jewelers in Avon Lake coming up on July 15th. Donna, appreciate your time and all you do. Thanks for your moments this morning.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Bruce and Craig. We appreciate the chance to tell people what we do.